And we get to spend some time together encouraging one another and reminding each other of our very purpose in life, which is to glorify God and to build one another up in Christ. Here, this is what something I want to just bring to your attention as we get started today. You might have noticed a little difference in your bulletin, a little special sheet in there that says information card, okay? Information card is very important to us because we'd like to have update information or up-to-date information about those who are attending. That way we can better encourage you and get information to you. And that way I can call you and tell you how much I love having you here a part of our community at 12th Street. Same thing for Pastor Thaddeus and other deacons that want to get in touch with you. So if you wouldn't mind, please fill out that information card. Even if you think we have the up-to-date information, just confirm that for us by filling out this card and placing it into the offering basket when it comes by, okay? Or the offering plate. With our regular announcements today, take a look here. We got a thank you here. It says, to everyone who assisted with the renovation at Ronnie Chapman's house on Saturday, you were a blessing. You know, we had a good time. We had a good time. That was awesome. So thank you for giving of your time, especially those who were skilled with plumbing. We really appreciated that, and I know that's a blessing to the Chapman family. We had an awesome time at that house, plenty of donuts and laughter, okay? So praise God for that. Kalamazoo Gospel Mission Project, Terry Waite, Joan, and Melody wanted to extend a heartfelt thank you to the 12th Street Baptist Church family for their prayers, donations, and generosity. The Kalamazoo Gospel Mission Project was a success. God always works miracles through his children. Many men, women, and children were grateful for their gifts and the numerous volunteers who shared their Christmas day with them. There was an anticipation and excitement that filled the air as the children opened their gifts. Please continue to pray for the program set in place that they will continue to help those in need to leave their current situation to live a more productive and independent lifestyle. So thank you from Kalamazoo Gospel Mission Project. Awesome. Books are in from Carl Ball presentation. If you ordered a book and paid for it when Carl was here in November, they are in the church office. Please see Sister Cheryl to get your copy and certificate. Just wanted to thank everybody who came out to Dr. Carl Ball's presentation. That was awesome, and I was blessed by it and encouraged and convicted by it to continue to seek out the evidence that shows that there is indeed an intelligent creator, our almighty God, who we know to be revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay. Youth group resumes tonight. Okay. Three people excited about that, but I know there's more quietly rejoicing inside, okay? All right. January 13th from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. in the youth room. College age study tonight. Okay, five people. Praise the Lord. Begins tonight, January 13th from 5:30 p.m., 7 p.m., at the home of Jim and Amanda Dieters. Okay, so it's at their home, not here, but at their home, and you can see their address is right there in the bulletin. Upward Basketball begins this week. Praise the Lord. I'm really excited about this. Okay, if you haven't heard about Upward Basketball, I don't know where you've been, but God is doing some awesome things with that, so please pray for that. And we need some coaches still, okay? Two coaches, I believe, we're still looking for, so please, if the Lord's tugging on your heart, get in touch with Pastor Thaddeus. And yes, Jim, he's tugging on Jim's heart. Praise the Lord. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. I must have made a mistake. Okay, so 7585, okay? So if you have a pen, correct that in your bulletin, 7585 for the address for Jim and Amanda Dieters, okay? 7585. Okay, and we wanted to have your telephone number in there, and I'm sorry about that, Jim. We didn't get that in there. But if you're a part of the college group, what I would encourage you to do, please, at some time today, please connect with Jim and Amanda, if you could, before you leave today, okay? If you're a part of the, if you're college age. If you're college aged and you have not been to their study, I would encourage you. It's an awesome study. It's going to change your life because you're looking into the life-changing Word of God, okay? And so that's what they're going to be focusing on. It's going to be fantastic. Jim and I have talked a little bit about that. I'm very excited about what he's going to be doing and what the Lord's going to be doing. All right. Thank you, Jim. Small groups. All right, y'all. This is what we're super excited about, okay? If you You might notice here, we got our new theme up here, Be Salty, okay? Very, very awesome. Very excited about this. There's booklets back at the Welcome Center. If you take a look at the Welcome Center booth there, you'll see a box, and it has the booklets there. You're going to need those booklets. You're going to want those booklets for the small groups that are going to beginning. It's going to be beginning on the 20th. That's next Sunday or the following Sunday after this, okay? We've got 7 different locations for you, 8 if you include Brother Jim and Sister Amanda, okay? It's not too late to sign up. We've got the sign-up sheets in the back. If you have not considered joining a small group, I personally would challenge you to just to yourself really genuinely think through it and ask yourself, why would I not go to a small group? And then more importantly, I would ask you to consider why you should be a part of a small group, okay? Our goal with small groups are for people to have intentional community with one another, centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, discovered or realized in his word, okay? So we want to know each other better. I don't know anyone who struggles with loneliness. I don't know if anyone's struggling with secret sins that you just don't think anybody could ever hear. I don't know if you're struggling with just being into this whole Christian thing. But I'm positive, and I'm willing to guarantee you that your life will be enriched if you would go be a part of a small community centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, diving in his word, okay? So that's my challenge to you, okay? All right? Amen. All right. That's right. One person. Good, all right. 12 things about 12th Street, beginning January 20th at 10 a.m. If you are new and would like to learn about 12th Street, this is the class for you, okay? So I'd encourage you to check out that class, 10 a.m. Pastor Thaddeus, you're going to be having that. Where is that going to be? That's not in your office. Where is that going to be? In your office, okay. Bronson, common schedule for 2019. We need volunteers to sign up to provide a service and music to those seniors that are residents at Bronson Commons in Mattawan. The dates for our church to provide service to them is March 10th, May 19th, September 1st, December 1st. If you are interested in assisting with this ministry, please sign up at the Welcome Center. Wednesday night dinner, men's basketball, men's prayer breakfast, the food pantry. These things are the ones that items we typically have on the bulletin. Check those out. We'd love for people to come out on Monday nights. We'd love for people to come out on Tuesdays. Food pantry, definitely love volunteers. So please, as you go through that bulletin, scan it and ask the Lord seriously, Lord, where can I be used of you? You know, when we go and we serve, we give God an awesome opportunity to show off how awesome he is through us. You want to know the idea of glory is that it's evidence of how awesome our God is, and you contribute to showing off how awesome God is when you go and you serve, and you don't serve out of your own ability and strength, but out of the strength that God gives. That's when you show off how awesome he is. In fact, Scripture tells us, I think it's Matthew 5, verse 16, talks about how we should let our light shine, right? And that men of the world or the world would see our good works and give glory to God our Father, because they'll see us and they'll go, man, these people, this is impossible. God must be involved. And so I encourage you to get involved in an opportunity to be used of God, to glorify him, and to really touch and bless some people. Okay? Awesome. Okay, great. So I'm going to be done with that. One of the things I want to challenge you with today for our greeting time would be this, okay? Same thing we kind of talked about last time. Go to someone you have not connected with on a regular basis. I know we've got our friends here at church. That's excellent. That's like the informal small group, but I'd love to challenge you to encourage some of the people who might be visiting, some new people who've only been here for a few months, get to know them a little bit, and this is what I'd like you to just say to them. Welcome. Nothing strange. I'm not going to have some crazy hard thing for you today that's going to embarrass you, okay? Just go to somebody and say, welcome. You are welcome, and the only thing is, I just want you to mean it, okay? You go say welcome to somebody, and I just want you to mean it, all right? All right, go say welcome to somebody. Let them know you mean it. Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. As you're making your way back to your seats this morning, we're going to open with a word of prayer. Carl just confessed that he forgot to pray. I asked him how he could forget that. We'll open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We just pray that as we're worshiping you this morning, Father, that we would be doing it in a manner that's honoring and glorifying to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look on the wall, there's a verse here, and we're going to read it together. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This morning we're going to be singing a lot about freedom, so here we go. Through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free to run. I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Through you the kingdom comes. Through you the battle's won. Through you I'm not afraid, through you the price is paid, through you there's victory, because of you my heart sings, I am free,
I am free,
yes I am free,
yes I am free,
I am free to run,
I am free to run,
I am free to dance. I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free. Yes, I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Okay, this side is awake, this side is not. You guys are just standing there.
And so much stronger, the King of Glory.
the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. You would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. The King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
It's your breath
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Come before you today, Father. We thank you again for your opportunity you've given us to be in your house to worship. Lord, we just pray that as we've poured out our hearts to you, Father, that our hearts are ready for the message you have for us this morning. Father, we just pray for our pastor as he comes. We just pray you pour out your spirit on him, Lord. Just open our hearts and our minds to the message you have for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Pray for our offering. Father, we humbly come before you this morning, and we pour out our praise, Lord, for all that you've done for us and how you meet our needs as a church, Father, we are so undeserving of your love. Yeah, Lord, you loved us so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Now, let us take a time that we can give back a portion of what you've given us and lay it before your feet this morning, Lord. And we pray this now in your son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. What a great message that song has for us, right? He's taken my sin. And to think that he's taken all of our sin and nailed it to the cross. We don't have to be responsible for that. Well, because we think on things like that, we should also think about, what does that have to do with me right now? Because if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, sometimes we kind of think, oh, well, you know, he's nailed all my sin to the cross. And, well, how does that impact me every day? And so in just a second, we're going to have a little skit to help us think about how that should impact us. And the title of this skit is Heart Trouble, okay? Now, most of us here, we're in church, second Sunday of 2019, and you are in church. Some of you were even here last week. Give yourself a hand. That's pretty incredible. All right, if you've been here both weeks, you're batting 1,000. If you weren't here last week, but you're here this week, you're batting 500. That is Hall of Fame numbers right there. Okay? You would be the very best Major League Baseball player ever if you were to bat 1,000. So good job. You're doing good. So here's what I want you to think about, though, as we go into this skit. We should be evaluating our lives and saying, Lord, is there anything in me that you would like to see different? And when we see something that God says, yeah, there's a little change I would like you to make, then I want to encourage you, make those changes. Because in one way or another, it's easy for all of us to get caught up in our heart trouble. So let's enjoy this skit here.
Church and enjoy our pastor.
We're excited to be here.
Our pastor is beginning a new series. He's calling it Heart Trouble. He's going to challenge us to keep our heart pure before the Lord.
Yeah, we saw the sign out front.
And we heard he's a great preacher. Oh, we also heard that your church is very friendly.
Yeah, the last church we were at, they were super mean and abrasive.
Oh, we like friendly places.
Well, you've come to the right place. Everyone here is friendly and pleasant.
Oh, we're so sorry we're late for church. Oh. But Gladys had to stop off at that International House of Pancakes for one of her Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Pancake Marathon.
Well, that's right. Where else would you want to start a week except for the IHOP?
Are you guys visiting with us today?
Yes. I'm Gus Glum. This is my wife, Gladys. Say hello, Gladys.
Hello. Yeah.
So will you be staying for the service this morning?
Yeah. Why do you keep asking us so many questions? Really? Are you the one who's the head nurse around here?
Nurse?
Yeah.
Seemed odd to be giving examinations at church, but hey, the sign said it's free, right, Gladys?
Well, that's right. Now, I suppose right now you could just bring that treadmill out, because I've had my pancakes, and I'm ready to wow ya. Wow ya. I'm going to go fast this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, look here. We know you youngsters were here before us, but Gladys and I could go any second now. So if you don't mind, get over here. We're here to see the doctor.
Sorry, you must be confused.
Well, my goodness, Twinkles, I know you've been here a long time and you might be in charge of things, but let me tell you, I want to cut out the chit-chat so we can just get in, see the doctor.
Wait, you have a doctor on staff?
No, we do not have doctors on staff at this
but
church.
But they just said.
Well, then who gives the heart examination?
I have no idea what you mean.
Oh my goodness, this guy's in over his head. Come here. Let me see this. If you would just loosen up the tension on this tie, you wouldn't have so much pressure on your brain. They call him a nurse.
Let me handle it, Snookums.
All right.
Look here. My wife and I were driving by the church this morning. We saw your marquee sign out there. You know the one that says, Heart Trouble? Come here today to have your heart examined. So we're here for our heart exam.
What are you looking like that for? Does that mean we have to change our clothes?
Oh, no. I tell you that. I am not wearing one of them gowns. Let's get that straight right from the get-go.
The sign out front is referring to a different kind of heart trouble.
Look, son, I have palpations of the heart just like the next guy. Don't let this amazing physique fool you.
Yeah, and then every once in a while, my heart will go skippity, skippity.
So we're here for our examination, and we want it now.
You know, Connie, maybe we should get our hearts examined while we're here.
Oh.
No, no, these folks are confusing you.
What? Is there a problem here?
Doctor, we were here first.
Pastor, apparently there is some misunderstanding about the title of your message.
On heart trouble?
Look, yeah. Are you a pastor or a doctor?
I wish somebody around here would just let us know and give us a straight answer.
I think I felt my heart skip a beat.
What's going on?
The Glum saw our sign out front,
yep.
And I think that we're giving free heart examinations.
I need to get the old ticker checked out, Doc.
Wait, I think I hear my heart murmuring.
The sign out front is not referring to your physical heart.
Ooh.
It's talking about the heart that God sees.
What?
And he wants us to come to him with a pure heart.
Come over here, bud. Come on. Let me talk. Heart. What about my body?
Oh.
Well, yes. But see, man looks at the way things are on the outside.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But God, he sees things from inside. And he wants you to come to him with a blameless heart, a pure heart.
Well, look, Doc. I've spent most of my adult life with Gladys here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to ignoring what's on the outside and trying to love what's on the inside, you know what I mean?
Watch yourself.
Folks, this morning, the message is going to talk about the way God sees our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to have a pure heart.
Mm.
And at the end of the service, we want to allow God to search our hearts and work with us for the situation with our hearts.
Okay. All right, got it.
Well, I've got to go.
Oh.
I'm glad that you guys were here this morning. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the doctor going?
He must have a medical emergency.
That is not a doctor.
Where did you two come from, anyway? Good night.
Well, yeah. Will you folks be joining us for the service this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what, you throw in an electrocardiogram, and we'll stay. Nah, we're out of here. Yeah. Hey, you up for another short stack, Gladys?
Whatever you say, Gussie.
Come on.
Wherever you say. Come. Wait, I gotta get my head in the handbag.
Oh, yeah.
So, you two are not going to see the doctor.
There is no doctor.
He's just like all those other churches.
Friendly.
All right, at this time we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And yes, I am a doctor, but not that kind of doctor. So, heart trouble, it needs healing. And as we continue our series this morning on Be Salty, we need to focus on Jesus preaching in Mark chapter 9. So turn with me to Mark chapter 9. He deals with heart issues that exhibit saltiness or show a lack of saltiness. And so I hope this morning that as we read through this message that Jesus preached, that you will examine your own heart and see if you are salty or not. And in this passage, Jesus offers unique and reliable ways to season our lives. There was once a man from San Francisco, and he was walking along the Golden Gate Bridge, and he saw a second man about to jump over the edge. And so he stopped him, and he said, "Surely it can't be that bad. You know God loves you." The man about to jump got a tear in his eye, and he said, "Are you a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu?" And the man said, "Well, I'm a Christian." "Well, me too. Are you Protestant or Catholic?" "Well, I'm Protestant." "I am too. What denomination?" "I'm Baptist." "So am I. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" "Northern Baptist. That's a miracle. I am too. Are you Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? Well, Northern Conservative Baptist. Me too. Are you Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reformed Baptist? I'm Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist. Great Lakes region or Eastern region? Well, I'm Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes region. So am I. Are you Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes region of 1893 or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes region of 1917? Well, I'm Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes region of 1917. The man said, "Die, heretic," and threw him off the bridge. Now, Mark chapter 9. Actually, Jesus deals with that exact thing that was kind of dark in its humor. But in Mark chapter 9, read with me in verse 38. Mark 9:38. And John answering him, and you'll have to read the rest of the passage. We don't have time to dive into all the background, great background behind why John says this to Jesus. But John answered him saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he follows not us. So we forbade him, because he follows not us." But Jesus said unto him, "Forbid him not, for there is no man who will do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." Let's pray together. Lord God, I just ask that you would open our hearts. And if there's any trouble in our hearts, help us to see that and to find the seasoning salt of your word this morning to encourage us, to lift us up, to set us back on the right path. And Lord, I pray that we would be salty people according to what your word says. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we saw that with salt, salt can lose its saltiness. When it's been overexposed to water or to dirt or earthy elements. And we will lose our saltiness if we are overexposed to the world as well. See, the Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of it. And when we live of the world, we act the same way, and we let the influences of the world start to rub off on our life, it takes away our saltiness. So in Mark 9, we are given a blueprint for how to remain salty. It shows how to re-season your life if you've lost your saltiness. So let's look here at verses 38 through 40. The first thing that we see in this passage is there is mistaken saltiness. Mistaken saltiness is this. It's needing others to follow you or yours. Kind of like the joke that I opened with. Okay? I mean, they agreed in so much, right? But they disagreed over the council of whatever. And so fellowship was broken. There couldn't be any love for each other. And this is mistaken saltiness. When we need others to follow us or follow our way. The second thing is, it's mistakenly thinking that our work is the only work. I'll tell you what, all around Kalamazoo today, God is doing amazing things. He's doing amazing things right here. But he's doing amazing things all over. Because he's God. And when we think we are the only ones, then we're mistaken. That's not true saltiness. And then letter C in your bulletin. Those who are for Jesus, as described by Scripture, are not against us. Now, if someone's talking about Jesus and it's not how Scriptures describe Jesus, then that's a different Jesus. So just the name of Jesus is not what brings us together. It's who Jesus really is. And so we're mistaken in our saltiness if we think that people are against us because they're not right here with us. So secondly, in this passage, in verse 41, he says, if you give a cup of cold water, if anyone gives you a cup of cold water because you believe. You ever had someone that's really kind to you? Done something nice for you, and it's because of your faith. I remember sitting in a restaurant. This is a few years ago. It was here in Kalamazoo, and I was sitting talking with an individual from our church, and as we were talking about the things of the Lord, and I think we were being salty in a good way. We prayed before we ate. And our conversation was all centered around God's word, and when it was time for the waitress to bring the check, she came over and she said, your check's been paid. I look at the guy and he's like, I didn't do it. She said, no, another customer heard you two's conversation and was so blessed by it, they wanted to take care of your check. I was like, wow, that is pretty cool, right? See, when we're salty, we serve others. That person that day, they blessed me. And I don't even know who that person is to this day. No idea who that person is. But they blessed us in a huge way. When we serve others, that's when we're salty. But see, if you only serve your own self-interests, then you are not salty. Some people think service for God is making me feel good. Let me tell you what true service for God is. It's serving others, investing to others. Yes, you will feel good when you do that. But it's doing what God wants you to do. A cup of cold water in the name of Christ demonstrates that even the smallest acts done in the name of Christ are significant in enacting your saltiness. And so just think for a minute. When's the last time you did something for someone just so you could get the name of Christ out there? When's the last time that you did a selfless act of kindness for someone else where there was no agenda for you, there was nothing that you were going to gain from it other than you were helping someone else? See, that's being salty. Jesus talks about how even just a cup of cold water done in the name of Christ is a significant act of saltiness. The third point in your bulletin, in verse 42, it lets us know that offending a child who believes in Christ demonstrates a complete lack of saltiness. The word for little one in the scriptures there, the Greek word is mikros, okay, or mikros. So let's think. Something that's micro, we're talking about small. Usually when this word is used in the Greek, it's a reference to the age of an individual. So when it says these little ones, we can know just a few verses before this, Jesus actually took a child and put the child in his lap, and he actually hugged the child, and he started talking to them, letting them know how important children were to him and to his ministry. And so as he's displaying to them how important children are, now he's dealing with this idea of being salty, not being mistaken in our saltiness, where we tell other people, oh, you're not with us, so you're not part of the work. But he says, one of these little ones who is already sitting in his lap, he says, if you offend one of these, it's better for you to have a millstone hanged around your neck. Now, a millstone, there are various sizes of millstone, but most of the millstones, at least when we were in Israel that we saw, they weighed well over 200 pounds. Most of them were over 500 pounds, okay? These round stones that were used to roll in a trough to help crush either grapes or crush wheat, whatever it was. And they were, it was the weight of them made a big difference. So Jesus is saying, take one of those heavy millstones and then tie it to your neck and throw you in the sea. You won't survive that. Well, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, you're worthless if you are offending these children. So what does offend mean? Well, offend means to cause to sin. Offend is cause to sin. Those who inflict spiritual harm on children prove their lack of saltiness. How can you impose spiritual harm to children? Well, if you are giving physical harm to children, you're also hurting them physically or spiritually. If you're inflicting emotional harm on children, you are hurting them spiritually. This is it's a problem in our world today. Abuse of children. Jesus said it's better for you not to live than to abuse children. And what specifically is he talking about? He's talking about causing them to sin. You know the weight that this puts on us as adults? Teenagers? The weight that this puts on you, it is your responsibility to other human beings to not cause the children to sin. So those who inflict spiritual harm on children prove their lack of saltiness. So the fourth thing that Jesus says is, remove from your life what causes you to sin. All right, this is pretty hard stuff. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Now, I see one person with one leg, okay? Scott, you're the only one here that can, like, identify totally with this, right? Because we all have two hands, two feet, two eyes. Are we supposed to go around and mar our bodies? Is that Jesus' intent? No, his intent is that we will learn how to be salty. And so his point is that we need to remove from your life what causes you to sin. You need to remove from your life what causes you to sin. We used to sing a song when I was a kid in Sunday school and in church. And it was, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. It's so true. We have to be careful with where our feet take us, what our hands do, what our eyes see, because whatever is causing us to sin, we need to remove it. Now, the word offend, so it said if you offend the little child, and I've already defined it for you as causing to sin, and the word offend here in the next few verses, as it talks about your hands and your feet and causing you to sin, that Greek word there is scandalizo. We get an English word from that. Scandalous, right? To cause a scandal. If what you do with your hands is scandalous, if what you do with your feet is scandalous, if what you do with your eyes is scandalous, then change your behavior. Cut the scandal out of your life. Literally, to go right from Greek to English, because just taking a word and messing with it, scandalizo, if we're going directly to English, it's cause to sin. So yes, it's an offense, but what does that mean? It doesn't mean hurts my feelings. It means causes me to sin. And if we have something in our life that causes us to sin, here's what Jesus' point is. Letter A, sin must die. Cut it off. Don't continue in sin. The very first song we sang as a congregation today was, I am free. Well, if you're in sin, you're not free. If you're in sin, you're actually in bondage. If you're in sin, you are actually holding the entire spiritual self captive. Jesus came to free us. So sin must die. If sin doesn't die, then we will die. And when we, this is a very scary thought. I want to read through these verses again before I get to this point. Mark chapter 9, read with me verse 43. If your hand offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Now Jesus is a little repetitive here, is he not? I mean, not a little. He's very repetitive. He says, where the fire is not quenched, which means the fire doesn't get put out. And then he says, where the worm dies not and the fire's not quenched. He's like, totally redundant here. Why? Anytime a teacher is redundant, they're trying to prove a point, right? Don't miss this. Remove from your life what causes you to sin. If sin doesn't die, then we will die a spiritual death. Now, don't miss this. If sin doesn't die in our life, you will die a spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. The only place that is eternally in separation from God is the place where the fire is never quenched, where the worm doesn't die, where the fire is never quenched. We've often heard it said, you know, hell is the place of everlasting punishment. No, it's not. No, it's not. Revelation 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hell's not the final place. Worse, hell gets thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Separation from God. So this is pretty serious stuff, right? Now the next thing, point five in your bulletin. It says, everyone will be salted with fire. Jesus says everyone will be salted with fire. I mean, we're talking about being salty, and salt is a good thing, and all of a sudden now salt has a very negative connotation because none of us want to go through fire. Think about this. You take elements of this earth and you pass them through fire. What happens to them? They burn up. They melt. Now, one of two things will happen to, and it depends on the compound that's passing through the fire. The compounds that pass through the fire that are wood, hay, straw, what happens to them? Pfft. Turn to ash, right? Pass gold through fire. What happens to gold when it passes through fire? It melts. And you heat it up hot enough, you know what happens? This thing called dross in the gold will actually rise to the top. And they'll take these huge vats with gold in them, or silver, or any precious metal, and they'll heat it up really, really hot, and then when it does, all the impurities, the dross, the bad stuff, rises to the top, and then they'll take and they'll scrape that off. Now what's left after it's passed through the fire is pure, better. Everyone will be salted with fire. Let's look at the two types of fire that we will either be. We won't pass through both of these fires. We'll pass through one of these fires. The first fire that the scripture tells us that we will be salted with, or that we will pass through, is the fire for the unsaved. And in Revelation 20, it just defines for us who are the unsaved and what that fire is all about. In verse 14 in Revelation 20, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." All right. I want my name in the book, right? I mean, if whoever's not found written in this book of life, that they are cast into the lake of fire, I want my name in the book. And the Bible tells us that we can know that our name is in the book. This is a certainty that we can have. 1 John 5:13, it says, "I write these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you can know that you have eternal life." And here's how you know: by believing in the name of the Son of God. See, here's how you know your name is in the book. This is the Lamb's book of life. Jesus is the Lamb. He is God incarnate, which simply means God took on humanity, human flesh, and lived as a human, but he was still God. And when he did so, he offered himself as a sacrificial lamb to pay the penalty for your sins, for my sins. And when he died, he offered himself in your place and in my place so that he would bear all the penalty for sin. Whoever trusts in what Jesus did, dying on the cross, Jesus says, "I give to you eternal life. You will never perish. No one can take you out of my Father's hand. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life." But anyone who does not put their faith and trust in what Jesus did, their name is not in the book. You know what's so incredibly simple about this? Jesus is not asking you to do a whole bunch of good things. Jesus is not asking you to earn your salvation, because I couldn't do it. I've got my doctorate in theology. I've read through the Bible over 55 times, and I could not do it. Every time I read through the Bible, I realize more. I cannot do it. But Jesus did it for me. And he's not asking you to be good enough. He's not asking you to make some kind of crazy sacrifice of yourself in order to go to heaven. He made the sacrifice. Receive his gift. Because the gift of God is eternal life to everyone who believes. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, "Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you for giving your life so that I don't have to pay for my sin. I trust in what you have done." Your name will be written in that book of life. And someday, when he's judging, his judgment isn't based on how good you were. His judgment isn't based on how bad you were. His judgment is simple. Those who will go and spend eternity with him in heaven are those whose names are in the book. And those who do not spend eternity in heaven with him are those whose names are not in the book. And so is your name in the book? Those whose names are not, that is the unsaved. There is fire for the unsaved. Everyone will be salted with fire. Well, if your name is in the book, you're like, "Wait a minute, I thought I never had to worry about fire because my salvation was my fire insurance." Let me tell you something. You will also be judged by fire. But your judgment's a little bit different. Your name is in the book. You will not be separated from God. You will be joined with him in heaven. And there's this other judgment that takes place in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 3, turn there with me. This is the fire for the saved. 1 Corinthians 3 in verses 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, it says, I'm going to have to turn there. I had it in my tablet, and my tablet just deleted everything. It's crazy how it does that, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. It says this. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. So this is talking about people who have built their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They've trusted in him. Their names are in the book of life. Okay? Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Jesus said, everyone will be salted with fire. Those whose names are not in the book of life, separation, the fire of the lake of fire. Those who have trusted Jesus Christ, we go through what's called the refining process. All of our works, good and bad, pass through God's fire. The bad, he converts to wood, hay, stubble. So you know what happens after all the bad works you've ever done on this earth? If you've trusted in Jesus, it doesn't matter how many there are. In fact, you might only have wood, hay, and straw. But what happens to it when it passes through the fire? It ceases to exist. All of your bad works, listen to this, all of your bad works, Jesus will burn them up and salt them with fire. And you will be saved. Yet so is by fire. That's awesome. But now, if you have good works for him, when those good works pass through the fire, you have something left. Gold, silver, precious metals. And when they pass through the fire, these are left over for you now, and they're more pure. All of the impurity of your work, all the impurity of your life has been burned up, and now you have something. Okay, do you really want gold in heaven? The streets are paved with gold. You're just carrying around cement, okay? So what do you want gold for? Because we're going to take time after this, and we will cast the most precious things that we have, and we will give them to the Lord and put them at his feet. And to have something, some good that you've done for God, that will be an awesome thing in that moment. To say, I got saved not based on any good thing that I've done, but now finally I get to take my good and offer it back to you. And you can lay your gold and silver and the precious metals at Jesus' feet and say, I worship you, my mighty God. And there will be some there who are saved, yet as by fire. Because when their works pass through, they believed in Jesus and they're in heaven. And you know what? That's good. It beats the alternative. But now they have nothing. And when everybody else is taking their precious works and giving them to Jesus, there will be some standing in the background. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought there was no regret in heaven. Next chapter, chapter 21, he wipes away the tears from the eyes. He does away with the memories of wrong. But there will be a short period of time where you will miss out on putting your crowns, your precious works, at Jesus' feet if you don't do them right now in this life. Everyone will be salted with fire. I've got to hurry up. We're like way over time. So, Last point, verse 6 in your bulletin, or number 6 in your bulletin, from verse 50. Peace with each other is a visual sign of saltiness. We started this whole, Jesus started preaching this whole message because of what John said. We saw some casting out demons and they weren't with us, so we said, stop. And so Jesus has gone through, he's explained saltiness, and now he says, let me give you the main point of saltiness. You have peace with each other. Man, some of you don't even have peace with yourself. Some of you don't even have peace with your wife or your husband or your kids or your neighbor or your dog. I mean, full disclosure, my dog and I, we're at war, and we're trying to come at peace with each other, all right? This is the telltale sign of how saltiness, you being salted the way God wants you to be, of how it will work itself out, peace. So, real quick, throw that first slide up there. There was a contest that a man, he wanted to understand peace, and he wanted a drawing of peace, and so he opened up this big competition. All these people sent in their depiction of what they thought peace was, and as people turned their things in, they had the drawings up, the finalists were up front, and they would uncover them from 10th place to 1st place. And so they uncovered them, 10th, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. They were pictures of, you know, soft things and beautiful brightness and, you know, warm days. And we're all thinking, yeah, that's peace. And then he got to the second to last painting, and when he uncovered it, it was a mirror smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. And along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. And everybody thought, that's got to be the winner. But the man who started the contest, he did not unveil that one because that was the runner-up. So then he pulls the sheet off of the winner, and that picture up there is the winner. This is the one that actually won the prize. And you're looking at that and you're going, that is not peace. See, in the midst of all this tumultuous, there's a waterfall that's cascading down a rocky precipice. Don't you feel cold when you look at that picture? Don't you feel like that spray can be penetrating to you if you were standing close by? And the stormy gray clouds could threaten and explode. The lightning could affect you, the wind and the rain, and you're like, that's not peace. And with the bitter chill, I don't know if you can see it right now. You'll see it in just a second. There's a spindly little tree that's sticking out from a cleft of the rock. And in the elbow of this spindly little tree is a bird's nest where the mother bird is sleeping on top of the eggs. Go ahead and go to the next picture there. Can you see that little bird in there? I was going to blow it up, but the pixels were really bad and you couldn't see anything any better. So there's a little bird right there where that arrow's pointing. This is the winner. Why? Because peace is not calm surroundings. Peace is your attitude. No matter what your surroundings. Let's say this morning I were to take some salt, a teaspoon of salt. Because you put a teaspoon of salt in a lot of things that you bake, right? And I were to pour in just a few granules of sand. Just put a little bit of sand in that and mix it up. How many of you want to use that salt for your baking? No, you don't. Because when you add the earthy to the salt, you ruin the salt. When we let all of life's storms around us dictate our peace, we've added earth to the salt. And it's no good. So I want to encourage you today, no matter what storm is brewing around you, find the peace of that little bird. because peace with each other is a visual sign of our saltiness. 1 John 2:16 says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world." So, I got a challenge for everybody today, all right? I've got these, you're like, what is this stuff up here? They're t-shirts, okay? And they say, be salty on them. So this is L through Z. If you signed up for a t-shirt, L through Z, it's labeled. If you signed up, you'll be able to get it in just a second. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up and get theirs. Now, when you come up and get your shirt, oh, and if you didn't sign up, that's okay. We got extras, okay? Lady sizes are right here, men's are right here, all right? And we got lots of every kind. So ladies right there, men's right there. And I'm asking the praise team to come up here because they're going to start going with the music. But when you come up and get your t-shirt, I want you to wear these t-shirts because it's going to give you an opportunity in this tumultuous world that we live in to show that you are salty. Because people are going to walk up to you and they're going to go, what? Be salty? What does that mean? Right? The Bible tells us that we should always be ready to answer the hope that is in us. To be salty means that I want to preserve the truth in this world. And I want to provide flavor to this world and spice. But also, I am at peace with my God and with those around me. And so you can wear these shirts. But you know what? If you're like, I'm not going to tell anybody what it means, then don't come up and get the shirt. Don't insult yourself. Because we have this awesome opportunity as God's people to share his truth. And what Jesus preached there in Mark chapter 9, I hope it sinks in. I hope you're like, you know what? I want to put off all that sin. I don't want that sin. I want to put everything off that's sinful in my life because I want to be salty for my God. See, last week we talked about if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your name is in that book of life. Jesus said, you are salt. That's what you are. But don't lose your saltiness. And if you lose your saltiness, you're good for nothing. But to be cast on the ground, trampled on of men. And Jesus said in Luke 14, this is painful. If you're not salty, you're worse than manure. Manure has more use than an unsalty Christian. If you're going to commit and say, I will be salty, I want you to come get your shirt. If you signed up, pick it up. Your name's on it. If you didn't sign up for one, we've got several up here. And you're making a commitment. You're not just getting a t-shirt. You're making a commitment and you're saying, I will be salty. And every time I wear this shirt and somebody asks me, I'm going to share with them why I'm salty. And if you're struggling to come up with in your life how you are salty, then maybe you and God need to spend a little bit of alone time. And so we're going to open it up for you to get your shirts. Praise team's going to be singing. You can join them in singing. Maybe you just need to sit and do some business with God. When you're ready to leave, leave. You want to stay for a while and pray? Pray. But whatever we do, 12th Street, we have got to be salty. Lord God, I pray that you would use this time for each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You played my Chorus one more time. You right my wrongs. You've overcome. You say that I am free. Salty as we do whatever we need to do right now. I just pray, God, that your spirit would go with us, that your grace would surround us, and that we would be a people who truly want to be salty for our God. Forgive us, Lord, for our failures. Thank you, Lord, that when we say forgive us, you are faithful and you are just and you cleanse us, you free us. You say you are not guilty, you are free. You are mine. So, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory. So now to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor, power and dominion, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.